Hallelujah, Jesus. Today, I want to talk about overcoming fear. And God, this has been something that's been kind of floating around on the inside of me for a while. And I think that as we begin to experience some of the things that are going on in the world, and we can look around and become very fearful if we're not careful. And, you know, things come along. We get attacked, you know, in whatever way. And the first thing the devil does is he tries to stir up that fear. He tries to get you afraid, because if he can get you afraid, he has power over you. You need to understand that. Fear gives the devil power over you. And we just know in the natural that when fear takes over a person, they don't even think rationally. You know, they become irrational in what they think. It's either the fight or flight syndrome comes up. You know, and it's just, that's one of the things that happens. But you know, when you have overcome fear, fear will still come, but you've overcome it. Amen. And I'm going to show you. I'm going to get as far as I can to show you how that works. But when you overcome that fear, you are no longer bound by that fight or flight syndrome. You can now stop and you can assess things spiritually. You can look at what's going on. And then effectively apply your faith to what's going on. You can listen to God. You can hear God. And the Holy Spirit will speak to you and lead you by the way that you should go. Amen? And so, you know, once you overcome that fear, then all of these other avenues of victory begin to rise up on your behalf. Amen? But if you let fear continue to own you, you let it continue to push you and drive you, then you start shutting the door to God. And then all you're left with is the help of man, whatever that might mean. Amen? And so that's not where we want to be. We want to be in that place where we know God is moving and working on our behalf, and that we don't have to be afraid. So just starting off, I'm going to start off with Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 through 15. This is the whole thing that, you know, I'm going to read through this and go through it a little bit, but I'm going to start off with like two or three things that you've got to start believing. You've got to believe these things. You've got to get these things anchored into your heart, into your soul, into your mind, so that as you have them anchored in you, it's going to start laying that foundation for you to be able to really overcome that fear, to exercise your authority and your victory over that fear. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 through 15 says, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he likewise shared in the same," talking about Jesus, "that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death," that is, the devil, "and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Now listen to that. I mean, just listening to that really opens up the understanding of one of the main reasons why Jesus came and why he died for us. You need to understand it was through his fearless death. He went to the cross. Nobody said it was easy. He suffered. He went through extreme, excruciating torture and pain. But he did it with a purpose. He knew where he was going. And when he rose again, he brought with him the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He brought with him the power and, you know, broke the power over fear at the same time. Now, this is reason why he partook of flesh and blood. Flesh and blood, one of the reasons. "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death." See, Jesus didn't break the power of the devil for us in his life and in his ministry. He did it through his death. "That through death, he might destroy him." And that word "destroy" there is really important here. It's the word "karagio," and it means to render entirely idle or useless. "That he might destroy him," the devil. He didn't kill the devil. He rendered Satan useless. He rendered him idle. He is ineffectual in and of himself. There was a time when he had the power of death, but he no longer has it, because Jesus now has the power of death. He holds the keys to death, hell, and the grave. So the devil doesn't hold it anymore. He doesn't have a right to just come in and exercise his power over you. He doesn't have that. He doesn't have the right. He doesn't have the power. He can incite the emotion of fear. But that's, he can't do anything else other than that. And what it is if we get, and what happens is, if we give ourselves to that fear, then we open up for that thing that we fear to come upon us. And we know that's what happened to Job. Job said, "The thing I feared came upon me." And that's what was driving him to offer up sacrifices every day to God for him and his family and so on, was because he had this fear that no matter how good things were going, he felt like the other shoe was going to drop. You guys all know what that saying means, right? That there's just something bad waiting in the wings to happen. We've got to throw that out. And that's what drove Job. It was an abiding fear on the inside of him. And he finally confessed it out without realizing what he was saying. You know, the thing that I feared came upon me. And so we have to watch out for that, because Satan had no authority over him until he tore his own hedge down. And God's not going to lie for anybody. That's not the way it works. He's not going to do that. You know, matter of fact, he'll tell on you. You know, I mean, he doesn't mess around. You know, we're called. Amen. We're called to walk with him. And you know what? God saved Job's life. Job had to go through the process of learning the hard way. How many of you want to learn the hard way?
No.
Okay, thank you. Nobody wants to learn the hard way, all right? But he went through the process of learning the hard way, and as a result, he got close. But God never let the devil have the authority to kill him. Never let him have it. Now, for us, we're born again. The devil doesn't even have the authority to do the things to us that he wants to do, to even test us. Now, he can tempt you. He can tempt you, which opens the door for the trials. If we fall for temptations, he can open that up, and you can walk right into that trial if you're not careful. Amen? Let me go on. That he might destroy him, render him idle and useless who had the power of death. And the word power there is not the word dunamis. It's the word kratos. It's the word kratos, which means force, strength, and dominion. Satan had some authority. He had some strength behind him to be able to render destruction in people's lives before Jesus came and died for us. Now, that's not the case. Amen? And then he goes on to say, in verse 15... that, you know, to destroy him who had the power of the death, that who had the power of death, that is the devil. Verse 15, and release those. Release those. The word release there literally means to remove, to release, to set free, to deliver. To deliver those, to set free those, to remove and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The word fear, this is what we're going to talk about. This is what we're talking about, is overcoming that fear. Who through fear of death. I think the fear of death is probably, you know, one of the strongest fears there are. But for some people, there's other fears that are greater than death. You know, there's other fears that could be greater than death. In other words, they'd rather die than suffer, you know, the thing that they fear the most. Amen. But ultimately, the fear of death is what drives us in this life. That's the fundamental fear. And that word fear there literally is the word phobos in the Greek. And we get the word phobia from it, okay? Phobos, it means fear. There defines it as fear, dread, terror. That which strikes terror, that's fear. You know, you get some bad news. And, you know, it can strike terror. And if you're not careful, that fear can take root and take hold of you. Yes. And drive you. I remember this is a real true story. I knew the people. There was a lady who was basically, she was a preacher, kind of a lady pastor. She had a ministry with the women. And her husband came down with cancer. And we offered to pray for him. She was praying for him. But he wasn't really a believer. I don't know if he was even actually born again, to be honest with you. And we offered to pray for him, and he said no. And you know, he ended up locking himself in his room. I mean, this guy was a strong man. Tall, strong. I don't remember. I think he was a truck driver or something like that. And I mean, just, you know, a big guy. And when he heard the news about cancer, the fear gripped him so badly that he went into his room, closed the door, closed the windows, and sat in the dark until he died. And he died fast. And he, I mean, they gave him like 6 months, and I don't think he lived. Well, they gave him maybe more than that. They gave him 3 months. They gave him 3 months to live, and he died in 1 month. Amen. And I mean, dude, I've seen God do miracles with cancer. I mean, it's just, you know, but this guy, he just quit. The fear gripped him so hard, he couldn't do anything. We don't want to become that, right? So we've got to put some faith in the fact that Jesus has overcome the devil, that he has destroyed his power. He has rendered him useless and idle in the power of death. He doesn't have the power to come in and just destroy and kill you. There are so many movies, horror movies out there where, you know, satanic stuff where the devil comes in and just kills people and it stirs up this terror in the hearts of people and in the lives of people. That's not the way it is anymore. Especially for us. We should know better. Amen. And Jesus, because of his death, has released us. Verse 15, and released those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Who through fear. And I like Webster's definition of this also, the word fear, just the word fear by itself. Webster says, he gave a few things, and this was the best one I thought. Webster says, fear is an uneasiness of mind upon the thought of future evil likely to befall us. It is the uneasiness of mind. That thing that just kind of digs around inside of you. That fear, that apprehension, you know, that feeling of the shoe dropping, like I said earlier. Upon the thought of future evil likely to befall us. Future evil or invisible evil. Most of the things that people fear never come to pass, but it still dominates and controls their lives. And it causes them to pull back when they should be pushing forward. Amen? There's so many areas in your life that God wants you to push forward in. And if you're afraid, you won't. You'll pull back. You'll hold back. And that's the basis. That's one of the basis. How would you say it? Basises? Not. That's a basis of doubt and unbelief. Is because you fear what might actually happen rather than have confidence in God. The fear of death. Release those. He released you from the fear of death. You've been set free and delivered from the fear of death. Who through the fear of death were all their lifetime, their whole lifetime, subject to bondage. And the word subject to there is the word anokos in the Greek, and it means bound or under obligation, subject to and liable to. And bondage just means slavery. The condition of a slave. We're bound. There's no freedom in our lives. You know, some people hold on to jobs because they're so afraid that they can't find a better one, that they hold on to something that they're unhappy in and that they're not qualified for, they find no joy in, and they hold on to it to their own detriment because of fear that they can find anything else. Amen? That goes all the way. Some people hold their kids tight because they're so afraid of something bad happening to them. Let me tell you something, man. The only way you're going to ever be able to do that is put your kid in a prison. Kids are going to make mistakes. They're going to grow. They're going to make mistakes. The best thing you can ever do for them is just pray for them. Yes. Pray that God protects them and keeps them, because you do not have that control that you think you have. Some people are so given to fear that they strive to control everything in their life. because they're so afraid inside, and they won't recognize it. They're afraid on the inside, and they're caught up, and the only way that they can feel comfortable at all is if they have everything around them under control. That's not good. You know, that's not good. I wouldn't be surprised if that wasn't the basis of obsessive behavior. You know, obsessive compulsive behavior. Anyway, moving on. But we've been set free. First step here is you got to believe that you've been set free from fear. You got to believe that Jesus released you from fear, that he set you free from it. You don't have to live in fear. Amen? Number two, you got to believe that you received. You got to believe that you received the spirit of adoption. Now, let me just read into this because it won't make sense until you see this. Romans 8, 14 through 16 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive." You did not receive. Now, the word receive, there's the word lambano, which means to receive, to gain, to get, obtain, or get back. And that's Thayer's definition. I like that. You did not get back or obtain or gain the spirit of bondage again. And again, the word bondage there is that word dalia, which means slavery and bondage, the condition of a slave. You did not receive the spirit of bondage or slavery again. And that's one reason why, guys, listen to me. There is total freedom in Christ. Now, we're not to use our freedom as a cloak of maliciousness, but we are free. We need to understand that we have great freedom with God. We have freedom to go before the throne of God, to obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We have great freedom to walk in the Spirit. We have great freedom to walk and live by faith. We have great freedom to get our prayers answered. We have great freedom to see the promises of God to come to pass before us. Amen? Why would we go back to that which was destroying us in the first place? Amen? There's no reason for that. Now, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again. And that word again, and I put that in here so you see it, is the word palin, or however it's pronounced in the Greek. And it means anew, or back, or once more. You did not receive the spirit of bondage once more. To fear. To fear. You're not in a spirit of bondage to fear anymore. God, you know, we're led by the Spirit of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And that word adoption there, and I'm not even going to try and pronounce that word, it means the placing as a son, adoption, figuratively of Christian sonship in respect to God. You've been adopted by God. Do you know the difference between naturally born children and adopted children? Naturally born children could be disinherited. They could be, what's the other word? When you kick them out of the house, there's a name for it. No, that's okay. Disinherited, well, I'll go with that one. But you know, adopted kids cannot be. You can't kick them loose like that. They, because you chose to adopt them, you have them and you're obligated to them for the rest of your life at least. Amen? I mean, that's a strong legal binding. It's a beautiful thing when you think about it. And that's why God adopted us. And once we were adopted, then we got born again. Isn't that cool? Because now once he adopted us, he had the power to do with us as he chose. And he got us born again. He caused us to be born again. Now we're both adopted sons and daughters, and we're also newborn sons and daughters. Isn't that cool? We got a double whammy there. But you receive the spirit of adoption by whom you cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, you got it. The reason why, and I put this all in here, verse 14 and verse 16, the reason I put those in there is because they sandwich in this whole thing that you've not been given a spirit of fear back to slavery. You've been given a spirit of adoption. You are now a child of God. And you are now to walk like a child of God. And you can act like a child of God. You can go to God and God will help you. God will take care of you. He'll minister to you, meet your needs. He'll love on you. He'll restore you. He'll strengthen you. He'll do everything God does. Because you're His kid. You're His child. Amen? So you've not been brought back under that. And you've got to believe this, people. This is something that you've got to become fundamentally sound in, is probably the best word I can think of. You've got to let this settle down into your being. I'm a child of God. God's my Father now. I am no longer without resource, without recourse. I am not bound to whatever comes to me from the world.
Absolutely.
I am not under the control of the world. God's been talking a lot to me about some things. You know, there's a scripture He gave me, and I've been meditating on it. And I'm tempted to read it to you because I think it'll help you. That was right there. Well, almost right there. I'm looking at my scripture. This is part of my daily scriptures. Okay? Jeremiah 45:5. This is my scripture, man. And, oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. I messed up. Jeremiah 45:5. And this is, he's talking to a king who was taken into captivity. And he told him, he said, and do you, he was taken into captivity. It was Babylonians, and it was one of the kings that was taken into captivity. And he said, and he says to him, and do you seek great things for yourself? Do not seek them. For behold, I will bring adversity on all flesh, says the Lord. But I will give your life to you as a prize in all places wherever you go. Think about that. There's adversity out there. Some of you are afraid to walk down the street in some places. Now, I don't tempt the Lord by doing that, but if I'm called down that street and I got to go down that street, I have every right to know that God's going to give me my life to me as a gift wherever I go. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be afraid of where I'm going. I don't have to be afraid of all the evil and the garbage that I see going on in the world around me, all the destructive things that could be happening. I don't have to fear that because God's already promised me. I believe that. I believe that. I'm His kid. You're His kid. Amen. I love that. Think about it. You know, to know that no matter what, your life is given to you as a prize wherever you go. No matter all of the adversity that's going on in the world, it doesn't have to affect you. So you got to believe this, people. You got to put some faith in the fact that now that as a child of God, you're no longer been given a spirit of fear. That's not part of your life anymore. Fear is not meant to be a part of your life anymore. Next verse. Luke 8:49-50 says, while he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher. Now remember when, you know, he was like part of the Sanhedrin and he came and he begged Jesus to come and heal his daughter. She was at the point of death. And then the woman with the issue of blood, you know, interrupts everything. And of course she gets healed and everything's fine. And then as they're turning to go to the ruler of the synagogue's house, you know, they come out and say, don't bother the master anymore. Your daughter's dead. I mean, that's like some of the worst news you could get right there, right? I mean, you were praying, trusting God. You were going to Jesus hoping with hope that Jesus would be able to save your daughter from death. And look what Jesus says. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Jesus didn't suggest it. He commanded him, do not be afraid. And of course, it's the word phobe, which is the verb form of the word phobos, and it means to frighten or passively to be alarmed. And he said, do not be afraid. Do not be alarmed. only believe. Again, the word only. Only believe. Only. Some of you have no idea the power of your faith. You have no idea. You know, you want to run to help. Excuse me. Excuse me. Hallelujah. You want to run to help. You want to get help. You're desperate. When fear takes over, desperation sets in. And some people, you know, you stop them and you say, well, let's pray. Let's pray. God will heal you. And they're like, man, I got to get help. And they run off to go get help. They don't trust God enough. They don't realize that their faith is there, that they have the ability, the power to receive from God Himself. Jesus told the man, his daughter was already dead. They just came and told him, don't bother the teacher, your daughter's dead. And Jesus looked at him and said, do not be afraid. Only believe. Only. There's so many things that you can get done with only believing that you may never be able to do naturally. I would never want to use my faith as a backup to me going and getting some natural help. It's first. Absolutely. It's first. You believe God first. Now you're bleeding, go get sewed up. You need it. Amen. Bind the wounds. That's what the word says. Don't be dumb about it. I'm not saying it's wrong to go to the doctors, but first we got to believe.
Yes.
Jesus said only believe. You know, they didn't have paramedics with the things where they could, you know, pump adrenaline in their heart and then try and, you know, hit on them with the paddles and, you know, shock them back to life. They didn't have that. Jesus walked in there. Kicked everybody out. Except the mom and the dad. Took the daughter by the hand. And he said, I say unto you, arise. I say unto you, arise. That's all he did. He didn't scream and yell. He just said, I say unto you, arise. People think faith is built on how loud you can get. Yeah. Man, it's the force of your being. It's the force of faith that's in you.
Exactly.
Truly, it's the force of the word that's in you. The more word in you, the more powerful faith you have. Jesus was the word made flesh. Now you understand why his faith was so powerful. He said something, it came to pass shortly. Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well. And made well there literally is the word sozo, which means to save, to deliver or protect. There adds to save a suffering one from perishing, one suffering from disease, to make well, to heal, to restore to health. The word sozo carries with it, by definition, the inclusion of healing. You can't say that salvation doesn't mean you get healed. No, that's a lie. By definition, salvation, soteria, which is salvation, sozo, which is saved, to be saved, by definition carries with it the meaning of healing, health, and wholeness. To be made well. Amen? Only believe. Only believe. You know, if you go to the doctor, go to the doctor, but only believe. Don't be moved by what you see. Don't be moved by what you hear. Amen? Doesn't mean you denounce it or you did. You know, you're not trying to be, you know, in the sense of, you got to understand something. You know, a lot of people think that, you know, by walking by faith, I have to, like, what's the word I'm looking for? It's where you... Huh? You guys are all helpful, man. I love it. I'm trying to find the word so I can say what I'm trying to say. What's the word? No. What?
Deny.
Deny is the word I'm looking for. Rhonda, you were right too, huh? So many people live in a state of denial, and there's not really any faith in that. Amen? Faith isn't afraid of the facts. Faith is more powerful than the facts. You're operating by another truth. There's a truth of the world, but that truth is not greater than the truth of the Word of God. It's not greater than the truth of God, your relationship with God. It's not greater than the truth of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. It's not greater than that. So when I say no to something, I'm not denying it. I'm just saying, I'm not giving you place. You don't have authority over me. I'm telling it where to go. Amen? Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you could say to the sycamore tree, be pulled up by the roots and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. That's the power of faith. Faith makes things obedient to you. But how much do we believe that? It's not about being in a state of denial. It's about taking authority over that fear, breaking the power of that fear. Amen? Saying, no, I'm not giving place to you anymore. Amen? Amen? So you got to believe, and this is the key part to this. Jesus told that man, he said, do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well. That man came to Jesus and asked Jesus to heal his daughter. He prayed to God. Is not Jesus God in the flesh? Wasn't he God in the flesh? He came and he asked Jesus, he said, daughter, master, my daughter's at home. She's dying. Can you come and lay your hand on her and she'll be well? That was a prayer. Jesus went and answered that prayer. You got to believe that no matter what it looks like, God's answering your prayer.
Amen.
Amen? You got to believe that. Because fear will rule you otherwise. You got to believe that God will answer prayer. If you're not sure God's going to answer your prayer, how can you be free from fear? It's a fundamental belief that you must have on the inside of you. You must believe that God answers your prayers. That when you pray in the name of Jesus and you pray according to the Word, He answers that prayer. All the promises of God are yes and amen. Amen? All right, now, here's some practical things I'm going to give you. Some things that you can do that will help you get a hold of it and break the power of that fear in your life. First one here is John 14:27. You know, Jesus makes a statement. He's talking to his disciples. He says, peace I leave with you. The word peace there, literally, just Strong's just defines it as peace. Webster's defines it in a general sense, a state of quiet or tranquility. Freedom from disturbance or agitation. It's applicable to society, to individuals, to the temper of the mind. And the word temper means mood of the mind, the attitude of the mind. Peace I leave with you. In other words, and the word leave here literally is the word aphemia, which means to send forth, to give up a thing to a person, is what how Thayer defines it. Jesus said, my peace, peace I leave with you. I send forth to you. I let this go to you. And he goes on to say, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. And of course, the heart denotes the center of the physical and spiritual life. And it can mean the soul or mind as it is the fountain and seat of the thoughts, passions, desires, appetites, affections, purposes, and endeavors. That's the heart. That's based on Thayer's definition. So it can be kind of an inclusive of all things. But honestly, if you really want to know what the heart is the place where you hold the dearest, the most essential things that you want in your life. You hold that to you. And it could be some things that you really think, some things that you really feel that are just kind of out there. Sometimes we got to go through our heart and dig it out. Amen? But he said, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. And the word troubled there just literally means to be agitated. Thayer defines it as to cause one inward commotion, to take away the calmness of mind, to disturb his equanimity. That's the literal definition. And I added composure to that because composure is what your equanimity means. Being able to hold yourself composed and not be moved and not be pulled away from that calmness of mind. Amen? He said, let not your heart be troubled. And the only way you're going to get there is if you get a hold of the peace of God. And you need to understand that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Peace. Peace is yours. The Holy Spirit is broadcasting peace all the time. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit lives and abides inside of you. And He's broadcasting love. He's broadcasting joy. He's broadcasting peace. Long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, which is self-control. He's broadcasting these things into your spirit all the time. It's whether or not we receive them. Are we letting God generate that peace inside of us? Amen? Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it, neither let it be afraid. And the word afraid here is the word dalia, or daliao, or something like that. It means to be timid. To be timid or fearful. Don't let your heart be fearful. He said, do not let your heart be troubled. For Jesus to say something like that, people, means that we have the power to do it. You understand that, right? We have the power to say no to fear. To say no to letting our hearts get agitated. Letting fear into our hearts. You know, faith is of the heart, for what the heart man believes. And if you let fear into the heart, what do you think that's going to do to your faith? Absolutely. It'll begin to contradict it on some level. It'll cancel it. Amen? It'll start canceling your faith in a heartbeat if you let the fear in. You don't know how many times I've been in situations where all of a sudden I was like, you know, fear hit me over something. And I'm sitting there and things are going on. And I'm sitting there and that fear hits me. And, you know, like you get the skin crawls. You get the, you know, the devil going, you know, you're going to die kind of a thing. You better do something, you know. He's always going to push you to do something natural. And I had to catch myself. I had to stop that moment. I had to stop and say, you know what, devil? I've not been given a spirit of fear. God has not returned me to that state of bondage to fear. You have no authority to impose your fear over me. Fear, I take authority over you. I break your power from over me and I command you to let me go. And it'll go. Now, if you're not used to doing this, it caught me off guard, but I was used to doing it. I mean, as soon as I did it, it left and I was sitting there in a place of a vacuum of peace, man. I was just, that was gone. The devil was gone. Everything was gone. I took authority over my body and it settled down in no time. Laid back down, went to sleep, woke up fine the next morning, rested. God does that. Amen. Don't allow fear in your heart. You got to start taking authority over it. When you see fear coming at you, stop it and say, no. Jesus, you said not to let fear, not to let my heart be troubled or let it be fearful. And I'm not going to let my heart be fearful now. Amen. I believe in what you've done for me. I believe it. You start making those declarations and great things happen. Now you're going to see something here, how God has given into your hands total control over fear. Just like what Jesus said to his disciples, he said, and to all of us, let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Let not your heart, do not let your heart be fearful or troubled, nor let it be fearful. You know, agitation in your heart is a stirring of fear. If you let it go on, it'll blow up into fear. You got to watch out. Or blow up into anger. It's generally one of those two things. Proverbs 3:25 says, do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Amen. Do not be afraid of sudden terror. Now, that word afraid there is the word yare in the Hebrew, and it means to fear, causationally, to frighten. Do not be frightened. And then Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as to make afraid or terrify. Do not be terrified of sudden terror. And of course, sudden really carries the meaning of instantly, like suddenly, surprisingly. You know, you're cruising along and all of a sudden something's in your face. And what does Solomon say here? Do not be afraid of sudden terror. And of course, the word for terror means a sudden alarm. Properly, the object feared, by implication, the feeling of it. Somebody steps up in front of you with a knife. That's sudden terror. Do not be afraid.
Praise you, Jesus.
Do not be afraid. Why? Because God's going to protect you. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble. And the word for trouble is actually the word devastation. Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as devastation, ruin, and waste. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of the ruin or waste and devastation from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord, verse 26, for the Lord will be your confidence. And the word confidence there literally means certainty. It means confidence, which means certainty. It means your hope, your optimism, and your trust. The Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. In other words, no traps, no destruction, nothing can catch you. Amen? Amen. Do not be afraid. That's a command. That's a command on us. We've got to start realizing that we have a lot more authority and a lot more power than we give ourselves credit for. When God tells you, do not be afraid, you don't have to be afraid. Amen? You don't have to be afraid. Now, I'm not just talking about sickness and disease here. I'm talking about anything that rises in life that can generate fear. Amen? You know, talk about fear. If there was a sudden collapse of our economy and economic system and all the banks shut their doors and all the money we have saved away is all of a sudden gone, that would be some heavy grounds for fear. But what good is fear, man? You're not... What can you do? You're going to have to trust God.
Yes.
You're going to have to believe God.
Yes.
Amen? You're going to have to put your faith in God. You got one of three ways to go. Put your faith in God, trust God, and get in there and just believe God that your needs are supplied and that God will take care of you and protect you. Or you go to work trusting man, putting yourself in the hands of man and whatever man decides to do. Or, you know, depending on what level of pride you walk in, you could say, well, I'm going to just trust myself.
I'll get it back.
I'm going to trust myself. I'm going to take care of me. Now, God's going to require us all to, you know, to work on some things to take care of ourselves. But you know what? To lean on the arm of our flesh or the arm of some other man's flesh, to trust in their ability, that's dangerous. Not only dangerous, it's devastating because people, when it gets really bad out there, they're going to forget about you in a heartbeat, man. If there was a sudden collapse of our like infrastructure, for example, all the power and everything like that, you know, people are thinking, well, you know, the police will keep control. Well, no, they're not. They're going to go home to their families. They got families they got to protect. They ain't going to worry about you and me.
Absolutely.
Right?
And they've said so.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of them that have said so. You know, it's like, we're not going to be the paramedics. They're not going to be overrun. They're going to go home because they're not, if it's a pandemic again, they're not going to risk getting sick. Amen. But we can't live in the fear of these things. Amen.
No.
Do not be afraid of sudden alarm. And make God your confidence. Start making God your confidence. God, you're my confidence. I have God. I am not without help. The Lord is my helper.
Thank you, Jesus.
I will not fear.
Thank you.
Amen?
Amen.
And then, of course, this is a I love this one. Psalms 46, 1 through 2. I lightened up the first part of it because it's just a bunch of, you know, things where it's giving directions to the chief musician. It says, to the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song for Elamoth. But this is what David is saying here. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's our refuge. That literally means a shelter from rain or storm or a shelter from danger. And our strength. It means literally strength, force, security, majesty, praise. God's our force. He's our power. He's our strength.
Thank you, Jesus.
The word oz in the Hebrew kind of correlates with the word dunamis in the Greek. Or it could also correlate with the word kratos, which means force, strength, and power also. But in a more physical way. Whereas dunamis is like miracle-working power. He's a very present help. In other words, he is to be present. He is secured. He's gained. All of you have gained God. He's right here with you. You've secured that relationship with God because of your faith in Christ. Amen? And he's present. He's right there with you. And what is he present to be? A help, which is aid. Help, succor, assistance, one who helps. Succor means to provide aid. It's not S-U-C-K-E-R. It's S-U-C-C-O-U-R, which means to provide aid. Amen? He's one who provides aid. He helps. I can lean on the help of God. In whatever situation I'm in, I can call on God and get help. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. And the word trouble there, again, straits, distress, and trouble. I've been in trouble before.
Really?
I've been in trouble quite a few times. And when I get into trouble, usually, sometimes it's not my fault. Sometimes it just kind of happens, you know, just like all of us. I mean, get in a situation and there's trouble. All right? And sometimes you cause your own trouble. You know, you do something dumb and, you know, as a result, you fall into trouble. Now, if trouble comes to you, God's your present help in the time of that trouble. And he will help you get out of that trouble. Amen?
Amen.
If you caused your own trouble, if you brought it upon yourself, God is still a very present help in the time of need. But he's going to make you learn some things. He's going to require commitments to change and some behavior that shows those commitments of change. And then he'll help you get out of that trouble. Now, generally, when we bring trouble on ourselves, it takes a little longer because we've got to figure out, okay, this is my fault. God, I've got to make some changes. All right, so what do I do? How do I make these changes? Now, if it's a life or death situation, God will help you immediately. Amen? But he will pound you about making those changes so you don't do that again. I mean, I've done some things, man, where my life was on the line, where I was, what I did was stupid, and I stepped all over the line, and I risked my life, and I cried out to God, God, save me. And at that moment, I made a decision. I ain't stepping over that line ever again.
Yep.
Amen? And I lived by that, and have lived by that. When God saves your hide like that, you don't want to mess that up. You want to stay on that right side of that line and never cross it again.
Yes.
Amen? He's a very present help in the time of trouble. He loves you. He will help you. Amen?
Amen.
Now, next thing, and this is the last thing, and I'm going to close up with this. A little bit early, but that's okay. You got to learn to rebuke the spirit of fear. You got to learn to rebuke it. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. All right? But of power and love and of a sound mind. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. The word given there means, is the word to give. It's the word didomai means to give. There defines it as to give something to someone. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Amen. Fear here is that, again, that word delia, which means timidity. Thayer defines it as timidity, fearfulness, and cowardice. Now, some people are fearful to walk in faith. They can't, they have a hard time stepping out in faith. That's this word delia. Timidity, being timid. Some people are afraid to stand up for Jesus. That's this word delia. Cowardly, timidly. Amen. God wants you to live a bold life. He wants you to live a strong life. Not a weak life, a strong life. Amen? But you need to understand you're dealing with a spirit. Now, the word spirit, and I didn't put this up here because I'm just going to explain it to you. The word spirit can carry a couple of meanings. For one, it can, you know, carry the meaning of a materially a spirit, like Jesus. Like Jesus is resurrected, so he's not a spirit. Like the Holy Spirit could mean like God as a spirit. God is spirit. Amen. Could mean angels who are spirits. It could mean human spirits, like the spirits that live inside of us. We're spiritual beings. We're spirit beings. Amen. So it can refer to us. It could refer to demonic spirits. Amen. And certainly, if fear attacks you on the level of, if it attacks you on the level of like right now, that's a spirit. That's a demonic spirit of fear. And you got to stand up to that. And you got to tell it, get lost in the name of Jesus.
Right.
I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You take your foul hands off me and loose me and let me go. And they listen. They have to listen. They can't not listen to you. And I'm going to explain why in a second. But when that comes at you, when you step into that sudden alarm, typically, you know, there's a spirit right there waiting to attack you, to cause you to hesitate and then bring you destruction. The whole purpose of that fear is to lock you up so that you don't act in faith, so that you don't act in the way that is necessary for you to act to get victory. Amen? I've been in situations where, you know, people, you know, started, you know, there, you know, there was gunplay. We were driving one time, coming back from Banning. Eva and I, and I think Andrea was in the car, and Brian, they were in the car. And we turned down the street to go to the freeway, which was just off that street. And all of a sudden, I looked up, and there were three guys out in the street, and they all had their guns raised at each other. And one guy was on the one side of the street. The other two guys were on the other side of the street. But they were split up. I don't know if they were all three against each other or two against one. I don't know what it was. But I mean, all of a sudden, man, there was this like, it hit me. It's like, oh my God, we're stepping right into a gunfight. And I just, you know, we prayed in the name of Jesus, devil, I bind you. Because we're stuck. I mean, you know, we're right up on it all of a sudden because we don't see them until you're right up on it. And I just sat there and said, Lord, and God just said, go on through. So I just rolled my car right on through, all three of them. And they all stood there with their guns up, holding on each other.
And us in the middle.
And us in the middle and right on through. I mean, at that moment, people would be stopping. They'd be backing up. They'd be freaking out. They'd be doing whatever. And if those guys started firing, bullets could go anywheres. And we just pray, God, you know, get us through. Instead of freaking out and doing something out of that fear or out of that hesitation to stop, Lord, what do I do? Just go through it. All right. And when we cruise through it, man, there's that confidence. The Lord is my confidence.
Yep.
There was nowhere as I could go. Went right through that. We drove on through, got down to the light. It turned green. We got up on the freeway and went home. We never heard any gunshots. We don't know if they ended up shooting it out or not. We might have stopped them all killing each other.
Absolutely.
We don't know. We don't know. We just went through.
Peacefully.
I was coming home one night. I had to walk home all the way from the gas station where I worked to my house, which was like 10 miles. And I had to walk home. And it wasn't cold or anything. It was just, it was warm and stuff. And I had to go down this one long street that I went down. And as I was going down the street, walking down the street, I looked down the street and there's a pack of dogs. I mean, Doberman, German Shepherds, big dogs, some, you know, little dogs. There was probably about 10 or 12 of them. And they were just out there. I don't know if they belonged to people. I don't know if they were, like she's saying, feral. I don't know if they were just wild dogs or what. But by the time I was cruising along, just praying and talking to God, not even paying attention, and I looked up, and they were under the spotlight, which was about from here to where the main lobby is. And I looked up, and as I looked up, all the dogs looked up at me. And they were messing around, kind of fighting with one another and stuff. And I'm like, Lord, there's no way out of this. If I run, they'll come after me. If I stop, they're going to come anyway. So I just put my hands in my pockets, my front pockets, and I just started walking. Where else am I going to go? Father, I'm just going to have to believe that you're going to take care of me. And as I was walking through, I came to where all the dogs, they waited for me. They didn't come at me. And as I got close to them, they all surrounded me. And then they started growling and stuff like that. And they all started coming in at me. And none of them could bite me. I had my hands in my pockets and all they were doing was hitting me with their noses. They couldn't even open their mouths. They were hitting me with their noses. And I just kept walking. For about 5 minutes, this went on. And as I was clearing them, they all kind of just lost interest. And this last Doberman came up and went for my calf. And when he did, he opened his mouth. But as he wrapped his, and I felt it, wrapped his mouth around my calf, I just kept moving. I didn't stop. He just slid off and just caught the back of my pants a little bit and tore him. Just a little bit. I had to get rid of the fear.
How old were you, Pastor?
I was 16 or 17. I just had to get rid of the fear. I said, God, I can't be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. Lord, you're going to have to take care of me because those dogs, I know what those dogs are. I know what I'm walking into. And they certainly attacked me, but they couldn't hurt me. They couldn't hurt me.
Praise you, Jesus.
But I had to get rid of the fear. And you know, dogs can sense fear, right?
Yes, they can.
And boy, if they're attacking you, man, they will maul you. I got rid of the fear. Kept my hands in my pocket so that they wouldn't bite my hands. I wasn't going to leave those out there. I'm not stupid. God's not giving us a spirit of fear. You got to take authority over that spirit and drive it out. Satan, your power over this is broken in Jesus' name. Now, I didn't know everything I knew now. I know now. Back then. But I trusted God. I knew He loved me. I knew He didn't get me born again for me to die at the hands of dogs. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Power, dunamis, strength, power, ability, power for performing miracles. That's what backs up your faith. That's what backs you up in overcoming that fear. And of a sound mind. Sophronismos, discipline, that is self-control. Thayer defines it as an admonishing or calling to soundness of mind, to moderation and self-control. I can control the fear that's trying to grip me. I am in control of that.
Yes, you are.
My mind doesn't have to be driven and pushed by fear. Remember what I taught you. You know, even though the ships are pushed with fierce winds, they're driven by fierce winds, yet they are turned by a very small rudder. Your tongue is your rudder. Use it to rebuke that fear and watch that whole thing just deflate. Amen. Soundness of mind. Did you get anything out of this today?
Yes.
Amen. Now God led me to teach us. I had probably 100 scriptures that I went through yesterday as I was doing this. And He kept pulling me back to these ones. So these ones are important to you guys. I would look at these and then do your own research. Spend some time in the Word for yourself and really begin to get a hold of, you know, the authority and the power that you have over fear. Don't let it control you. Don't even give it an inch. You feel it coming in, fear, I break your power from over me.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.